If you'd like to turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And our subject this morning is the mission of our Lord. The mission of our Lord. Here it is, very clearly spelled out for us. The mission of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Son of Man who is spoken of in this verse. Of course he is. The Son of Man, a title that is applied to the Lord Jesus Christ. And, many of us may wonder why he is called the Son of Man. He is, of course, also called the Son of God in the Gospels. Why are there these two titles? What does Son of Man even mean? Well, generally we answer this by saying that the Son of Man, that title, speaks about the Lord's humanity. The Lord's humanity. Yes, he was Son of God. Yes, he was divine. Yes, he was the eternal Son, the eternal Word of God. But he was also human, perfectly human, 100% human, as well as 100% God. Son of Man speaks about his humanity. And well, we're considering on our Wednesday evening Bible studies the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ as we approach the Christmas season. And we have seen already what comes through in those passages is how Christ, the eternal Son of God, became man, entered into a womb, the womb of the Virgin Mary, to show us, to teach us that he is fully man. He didn't just appear on earth in a flash of light, a grown man as it were. No, he went through every stage of human life, from conception right up to adulthood. He is fully human, the Son of Man, as well as the Son of God. It's his title, and it speaks about who he is. And, of course, it's also a fulfillment of prophecy. Some of you will know in the book of Daniel chapter 7, there is a great messianic prophecy speaking about the Son of Man. And when the Lord uses that title for himself, he is proclaiming that he is that Messiah. The Messiah that is prophesied in the Old Testament as the Son of Man, I am he. So explain that by way of introduction, the Son of Man is the Lord Jesus Christ, very much so. And this is his mission. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And we say it so often from this pulpit. What is the great purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world? Is it just to present himself as a philosopher, as some sort of revolutionary, as a good man who said some nice things, did some nice things, but he was just a man? No, this is his mission statement. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That which was lost. And what a tremendous theme that is for us this morning. That which was lost. Who is lost? What is lost? What is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking about? Who needs the Son of Man to come and to save them? Who exactly is it? Well, I remember when I would go out evangelizing and speaking to people at the Elephant and Castle when I was at the Metropolitan Tabernacle, and to some extent here too. You would speak to people and you would try and communicate their need of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need the Lord Jesus. You need to be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. But some people, they thought that that didn't apply to them. Oh yes, I understand that some people need to be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, but not me. I'm doing very well, thank you. I'm a good person. I've got a good career. I'm doing well in my life. I look after my family. Yes, some people need to be saved, but not me. You need to go and speak to, maybe that homeless guy over there. That's the one you need to speak to. Or that drug addict over there. He needs to be saved. He needs the gospel, not me. You're very much mistaken. But well, actually, it was he that was mistaken. It's people who think like that who are mistaken. Because we're all lost, naturally speaking. When we are born into this world, we are all lost. Whether you are rich, whether you are poor, whether you are born into a well-educated family or one that isn't well-educated, we are all lost. Every one of us. That is our state. We are all lost. And really, I don't really need to preach this at great length. I'm sure you can all see how we are all lost, how this world is lost. This world, and I often say that this is the most depressing time in history. This is the most depressing time in history, and maybe that's just me because I'm sort of a depressive kind of person, but I always think that this is the most depressing time in history. Why do I say that? Because we have all this technology, we have all these advances, we have so much education, we live relatively wealthy, we have so much to engage us, so much to enjoy, and yet it is so clear that we've never been so lost in human history. We're still so lost. We don't know where we're going. Where is the human race actually going? Yes, it has all this civilization, it has all this technology, all these advantages, but where is it actually going? Do we know? Does anybody know where all this technology and all this education is actually taking us? No, nobody does know. Nobody knows where we are going. We think we know where we're going. We think that if we teach people in a certain way, and if we arrange society in a certain way, then in 20, 30 years, everything will be wonderful. There'll be no more wars, there'll be peace, there'll be prosperity for everybody. That's what we think, that's where we think we're going, but it never works out that way. That's what they thought 30 years ago. Let's just teach people in a certain way, and then in 30 years, hey presto, everybody will be wonderfully happy. But look at the state of the world nowadays. And we don't know where we're going. We don't know what's going to happen from day to day, even politically speaking. Well, particularly politically speaking. We've seen in the last few months political decisions and outcomes that nobody could ever forecast. Everybody's going, how has this happened? We've had this type of education, tolerance and being liberal. And so we thought that in 30 years, everyone would be tolerant and liberal. But look what's happened. There are so many political outcomes that defy belief. We don't know where we're going. We don't know what's going to happen. We're all lost in that sense. And so this whole world, well, it is horribly lost. We speak politically. We speak morally. Morally, we don't know what is right or wrong anymore. We're totally lost on these things. But why are we lost? Why is this world so lost? Well, let me put it to you in this way. The world gives us the wrong directions. The world gives us the wrong directions. That is why we are lost. Have you ever been given the wrong directions? Or you've given somebody the wrong directions. Somebody comes and asks you, how can I get to such and such a place? And then you try and explain it to them. Oh, you go down there and you turn left and you turn right. And then afterwards, when they've gone, you realize you've sent them to exactly the wrong place. Entirely the wrong place. You've given them the wrong directions. They're never going to get there. And you're worried for the rest of the day how they're going to eventually find their way to that place. But giving them the wrong directions, it's a terrible thing. But you know, this world gives us the wrong direction. We all want to go to one place. We all want to go to a place where we're perfectly happy, we're perfectly contented, we're perfectly fulfilled, we're perfectly successful, perfectly at peace. That's where we all want to go. How do we get there? Well, if we look to the world's going to give us the wrong direction. Oh, you do this, this, and this, then you'll get to perfect happiness. You won't ever get there. The world is giving you the wrong directions. The world says, oh, you want to be happy? Yes, just get a good job. Just study hard, get a good job. Maybe get a good family, nice wife. Then you'll be happy. These are all the wrong directions, dear friends. These are not the way to true happiness, to true contentment, to true peace, to true fulfillment. These are the wrong directions. They're taking you in the wrong place. Anything that the world gives you, music, cinema, this will make you happy. It's the wrong directions. What are the right directions? Well, this is the right direction. The Word of God, the Scriptures. When you read it, they are directing you to the right place, to the place where you will have true contentment and peace and fulfillment. Why? Because they're leading you to God. That's the right direction. Anything that leads you to God is leading you in the right direction. Those things that you want the most in your life, you have to be sent to God. That's the right direction. Anything leading away from God is the wrong direction. And that is very simple to understand. And this world, of course, it leads away from God. You don't need God. God doesn't exist. So it's pointing you all in the wrong direction for peace, for happiness, and for all the things that we so crave within ourselves. By the way, the world doesn't care if it puts you in the wrong direction. If you point someone in the wrong direction, like I said, you'll probably be worried about that person. But the world doesn't actually care if it sends you in the wrong direction. It doesn't really care if you're happy or contented or not. And I'm sure many of you already realize this. The world doesn't care, most particularly, if you are lost spiritually. If you are lost in your soul, of course, it doesn't care about things like that. That which is most important, the world doesn't care about that. And I'm sure I've shared this with you before, but when I was seeking the Lord, when I was really thinking, well, what is this life all about? What is the way to contentment, to happiness? I would ask people, my friends, they weren't Christians, they didn't believe in God at all. I would ask them, I would say, what is the meaning of life? They didn't care. They didn't care about these things. Or at the very least, they would give me the wrong advice. Oh, why are you thinking about God? Why are you thinking about these spiritual things, about these deep things? Oh, you're not going to get all religious on us, are you? They don't care about whether you're contented, whether you're fulfilled, if you're feeling empty. They couldn't care less. Oh, just go to the pub. Let's just go down the pub. Let's have a few drinks. Let's forget all about it. That was all the advice that I ever got. The wrong direction. You're feeling empty? Oh, let's just go to the pub. Then we'll forget all about it. Have a good laugh. It's the wrong direction to happiness, to fulfillment. And the world didn't care. But you know, when I began to bring all those questions to God, when I stopped asking my friends and began to pray to God, what is the meaning of life? Where can I find true peace, true contentment? Then I found out that God cared. God cared about my emptiness, about my sense of loss. Oh, He cared so much. And He pointed me to His Word. And that was where I would find it. God cared. The world doesn't care about you and your happiness and your peace. But God cares. You bring it to him. You'll soon find out. He is so caring. He is so wonderful and so loving. And so when I brought my cares to him, well, then I began to find my way back to God. Now I say back to God because that is where we all started with God. We all started with God. God is our creator. God is our maker. You know, God is our home. That's how I would describe it. God is our home. When we are lost, it means we are far from home. We're far from a place of safety. We're far from a place of security. Far from a place of love. But well, where is our true home? God is our home. That's where we started. That's why we were created. To live with him. To dwell with him. To walk with him. To know his love. We think of our first parents, Adam and Eve. That's why they were created. To know God, to love God, to be loved by God. They were at home in those first days in the Garden of Eden. That was their true home, man's true home. And yet, what happened? Man rebelled against God, did not want to follow God, wanted to follow their own way. And then they were sent out of the Garden of Eden. They were sent away from home. And we've been lost ever since. That is why we are so lost. Adam and his descendants. Well, Adam was at his home. All of our home. But well, there was rebellion. And we've been sent away. And that is why we feel so lost. We're not home. God is our home. And well, even though we may not care about being lost, our Father in heaven, he cares very much about us. He grieves over our lost estate. He sees us wandering from one pleasure to the next, not finding any peace or rest. He cares for us. And that is why he has sent the Lord Jesus Christ to come and to seek. And to save that which was lost. That is why he sent the Lord Jesus Christ. We are lost. The Lord Jesus Christ comes. Gather in the people. Gather in my people. So that they will no longer be lost. They will be found. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save. Well, he seeks us. But sadly, there are so many of us who hide from the Lord Jesus Christ, who hide from God. The Lord Jesus Christ come to seek us. And what are we doing? We're hiding from him. That's our natural reaction to the gospel, to hearing about the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is come. What do we do? Oh, I'll just forget about it. I'll just go and hide myself in the world. Soon as I leave church, I'll just stick the TV on. I'll hide from the message that I've just heard. That's our natural reaction to the word of God. We hide from the Lord. Why do we hide? What foolishness is this that we hide from God? Christ has come and we hide. Well, it's because of sin. Of course it is. We love our sin. We like being lost. Because we can do what we want. We love all our sins. We love being selfish. We love being manipulative. We don't want to leave it. We don't want to leave all our bad habits behind. Oh no. That's why we hide from the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that if we are to cease from being lost, we have to turn away and face Christ and leave all our sins behind. And we don't want to do it. And this is a terrible thing. Again, another illustration. Well, this is actually something that happened to me. And I'm sure that I've told you this before as well. But I remember one of my friends before I was saved. Or rather, actually, I think I was saved at this time. But we went to this wedding, and there was much spoken about concerning the Lord at this wedding. Much things spoken about the Lord God and from the Bible and the Lord Jesus Christ. And this friend, well, she wasn't a believer. She didn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but she had been so moved by what she heard about God and about the things of God in this ceremony. And I remember on the way home, we started speaking about these things. She knew that I was a Christian, that I had just been saved. And she looked at me and she was so moved, there was almost tears in her eyes. She said, "You know, I want to believe. I would love to believe in God, but I just can't. I just can't do it." And what she meant was, she can see that God is true. She can see that God is where her true home is. That she is lost in this world, that God is where her home is, but she can't go. She can't go because she loves her sins so much. And there were tears in her eyes. She knew that. She knows that God is where home is, where safety and love and security is, but she can't go because she loves those sins. She won't leave those sins. And the conflict was tearing her. Well, is there anybody here like that? You know and you understand that God is where your home is. God is where you are loved. You are drifting in this lost world, but you can't go back because you love your sin. Whatever it is, things that tantalize you, things that consume you. Could be something on the internet, could be some music, some lifestyle you're into. You're going to forsake your home because you love your sin. What a great tragedy. This is the greatest tragedy, really. It's not that we're lost, but that we like being lost. That's the great tragedy of it. And this is a terrible thing, but Christ has come to call us. Christ has come to seek us and to save us. To save us because we are in great danger. If we are lost when we die, well then of course we'll be lost forevermore. Lost for all eternity. It's all very well being lost in this world. Well, you may think you're lost, but well, it doesn't matter. But when you die, you'll be lost forever. Forever lost in a place of sorrow, in a place of torment, the Bible says. Eternally lost. There'll be no gospel message. There'll be no voice calling out to you. In this life, when we hear the gospel, the Lord Jesus is calling out to you. Come, come, softly and tenderly. He is calling for you to return home. But when you're lost eternally in that God-forsaken place, you won't hear a voice at all. There will be no voice. No voice at all, except maybe, maybe a voice of regret. Your own voice of regret. Maybe you'll think to yourself in that lost eternity, I heard the gospel so many times and I never responded to it. That gnawing voice of regret upon you for all eternity. And oh, how you would wish that you could hear just once more the gospel message. Oh, if I could hear it just once more, I would respond. But no, you're in that place of eternal loss. So if you are lost now and you die when you are lost, there's no more opportunity. Just that voice of regret. Why didn't I turn? Why didn't I turn? Is that your lot? Is that your eternal future? Well, may God forbid it this morning. You must come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You must meet with him. He has come from heaven. You are lost, you have to meet him. He has come to seek you, but you have to seek him also. Do we realize that? Sometimes when I've been lost, I've rung up a friend And I say, I don't know where I am. I'm just driving round and round on this roundabout. And sometimes they'll say to you, well, what can you see around you? What can you see? Tell me the landmarks. And you'll say, well, maybe, oh, there's a Tesco's there, and oh, I can see a post office. And that person will say to you, the post office. I'll meet you at the post office. Go to the post office. I'll meet you there. And then from being lost, eventually, you'll be found. You go to the post office, and there you will meet with your friend. Well, it's the same with the scriptures. It's the same with salvation. There is a meeting place where you meet with God, with Christ. You see so much in the scriptures, so much sometimes that overwhelms us, but you think to yourself, but where is it? Where is the salvation? Where do I actually meet with Christ? And there is that place, of course, the cross of Calvary. That is where you meet with Christ, where you go from being lost to being found. It's the cross where the Lord died, the cross where he took upon himself the punishment for your sin, removed all your sin, placed it upon himself that he would take the punishment from God. That's the place where you meet with God, where you stop being lost and you begin that new life with God forevermore. That's the meeting place. Have you been to that meeting place? The meeting place is not a building, not this church, this physical church. You can come to the church week after week, but never actually meet with Christ. Where you meet with Christ is through faith in what he has done on the cross. He has shed his blood for us, and you know that it is for you. He died for me. That's where you actually meet with him. It's not in this building made of wood and stone. It's that cross of Christ, the blood shed for you, and you understanding and knowing that in him there is your salvation. That is where you meet with the Lord Jesus Christ. You must come to the foot of the cross. You must seek him, meet him at that place, run to him. Your soul depends upon it. Well, I must draw to conclusion, but you know, somebody told me the other day, just this week actually, about somebody's funeral, again an unbeliever. This funeral, it was so sad. This lady had been to it, she was a Christian. She was so saddened by what she saw at this funeral. The coffin was brought in. There were some items of clothing put on the coffin to remember this man by. But what was read out at this funeral? Words of comfort? Words that his soul has gone to be somewhere else? No, there was nothing like that. Do you know what was read at his funeral? It was his CV. His CV, his record of achievement. They thought that would be good to read at the funeral. Oh, he did this, got these great grades at this university. Then he went on to do a great job. Then he went on to do this, this, and this. And well, when I heard this, I thought to myself, oh, what a lost cause. What a lost cause. To come to the very end of your life and all you have is your CV. Your achievement in this world, all your achievements in this world will be lost at the day of your death. Your whole life will be a lost cause. If that's all you're going to read at your funeral, your achievement, your whole life is a lost cause. Far better to read at your funeral the achievement of what Christ has done on the cross of Calvary, because through his achievement, you know that your soul will be saved, will be forever with the Lord. Your body may be in the coffin, but your soul is present with God and will forever be with God. You will not be lost eternally. You will be found and enjoy all his love and blessing forevermore. Will that be read at your testimony? Or will it just be your achievements and nothing else? May it be Christ, his achievement, and your testimony, your faith in him. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That is his mission. Hear his call and answer him today. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our God, our gracious Heavenly Father, O Lord, we thank thee that Christ has come to seek us even though we are so lost, even though we love being lost. Lord, we thank thee for his love, for his compassion, his mercy, and for all that he has done at Calvary's cross. Lord, may we all meet with him there and know him and love him for the rest of our days and into eternity. We ask it all in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.